ജയമുനിധിയില പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദപരമഹംസ പരിപ്രതികാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ ബൃന്ദക്ക് രാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത ബൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംകി മായപൂർധാംകി മധുരപുരി ധാംകി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംകി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംകി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരൻ All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Shapadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Sarasudevam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadharine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ
സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമല് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാം ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വമോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാത്തേഷ വിന്യസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദ യ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സുരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്ത കുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മം പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതി മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദാ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്യുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസോനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കൊണിതാതൃതാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭണാം മുരാരേ മധുരേം കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമഃ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശകാരിണേ ശ്രീമല് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം മമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോർഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാനാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാം വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിൻ യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാജായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ We are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam from the 10th canto, chapter 31, which is the prayers from the gopis to Krishna, known as Gopiyagiram. And these prayers, because of its special significance being spoken by the gopis, has been recognized as the topmost relationship between the perfection in Krishna consciousness or perfection in devotional service who have achieved their topmost love for Krishna. It is their language that is what we were experiencing in this in these verses. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are so many prayers by so many exalted personalities. But when it comes to the gopis, the speciality of the gopis' prayers is that as far as they were concerned, there was nothing else to be left in this material world anymore. For example, you will notice there that they have asked Krishna this question, what else is there for us to live in this world so that you can say that we have not surrendered unto you? Because Krishna, before he accepts a devotee completely, he expects from the devotee a degree of surrender. And that surrender is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam later. Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if you want Krishna, then you have to comply with that requirement. What is that? Sarva dharman parityajya മാമേകം ശരണം വ്രജ അഹം ത്വാം സർവഭാവേഭ്യോ മോക്ഷയിഷ്യാമി മാശുചാഃ. That surrender is expected from a devotee. Krishna is expecting that only in that situation that Krishna will reveal himself unto that devotee. And that you will see also in every great devotee's life who have surrendered to Krishna in that way. Krishna has recognized their position of that degree of surrender. And accordingly, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yayadhamam prabadhyande tamstadaiva bhajamyaham mama varpanu vartande manushya apartha sarvashah. That according to the degree of surrender, Krishna also reciprocates. So here we have a situation with the gopis that they have accepted everything what Krishna has spoken. And they have even left their home, family, because for them, after all, for the women in this world, the greatest relationship, the biggest attachment in this world is their own family life. And that family also has been given up for sake of Krishna. And they have surrendered. In other words, one could not say anything anymore about the gopis that they have not surrendered. Into such an extent they have surrendered and offered themselves to Krishna. And it is those gopis are now asking Krishna that why have you put us into this situation? Is it not your philosophy? Is it your words that once you surrender, then you will take care of the devotee? Is that not the reality? The gopis asked Krishna this question very openly. So in the first 3 or 4 verses, gopis were expressing about themselves the situation they have landed into. In other words, by giving their association with family, children, husbands, parents, everybody who were very dear to them, they have given up all their connections. And in addition to that, they have come in the middle of the night to associate with Krishna in the rasa dance. This rasa dance has a very special significance in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because rasa dance is nothing but a relationship between the living entity and Krishna. Krishna is a super soul and living entity is a jiva. Jiva or the living entity. So this living entity and its relationship with Krishna is what is rasa dance. Nothing but that, because the living entity, unless and until it gets rid of its attachment to the material world, it does not become qualified to go back to Krishna. This is the, sometimes people ask this question, that why is renunciation required? Why is detachment required? All these questions are there in people's mind. Why can't we have a comfortable, cushy life in this world, at the same time be Krishna conscious? This question always comes up. The answer to that is, that unless and until one loves Krishna wholeheartedly, like the gopis did, or other great devotees have shown in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not possible to get oneself released from this clutches of material existence. Material existence under the 3 modes of material nature controls the living entity all the time. So if one wants to get released from that, he has to release his mind from the material world. And this thing called mind is always in contact with the sense objects. So unless one breaks that connection with the sense objects and senses, the mind is completely given up that attachment, vairagyam or renunciation will not build up inside. So this is a mandatory requirement for going back home back to Krishna. That attachment to this material world is totally finished. In that situation, one will have attachment, one who develop attachment for Krishna, that makes him qualified to go back home back to Godhead. So that is the answer to that, that the mind is the problem. This mind which has got so much attachment to this material world will not allow you to think about Krishna as long as it is anchored here in this material world with different senses and sense objects. So therefore the gopis have said this to them, Sharaduda Shaye Sadhu Jadasal Sarasi Jodara Shri Mushadrasha Suradanatha Te Shulkadasiga Varada Nignato Neha Kimvatha. In the second verse you will find there that the so many, Krishna has prepared himself for the rasa dance and he has come to the forest, to Vrindavanam, and all the gopis have arrived there to associate with Krishna that evening. And it was then that some questions came up, that Krishna's beauty was such at that point in time that everyone was wondered why Krishna has manifested so much beauty in that form at that particular moment in time. And the reason for that was, when Krishna was fully prepared to dance with the gopis, he wanted to exhibit himself in his most beautiful form. And therefore, Krishna has exhibited himself in that form. But seeing that form, the gopis have felt some different feelings came to their mind. And that is what they have expressed in that verse. Sharaduda Shaye Sadhu Jadasal Sarasi Jodara Shri Mushadrasha Suradanatha De Ashulkadasiga Varadanikmato Neha Kimbataha. That in the beautiful lotus flower in the autumn season, when it comes up in the lakes, the beauty inside. When the sun shines in the morning, the lotus flowers opens up, and that reddish color inside with the sunlight together, it gives such a beautiful scene. And the gopis were saying to Krishna that Krishna has even taken the people's attention from these lotus flowers by his own personal beauty, because Krishna looked more beautiful than the lotus flowers in the autumn season when they open up. Sharaduda shaye sadhu jadasal sarasi jodara shri musha drisha. That was Krishna's beauty. Now at this point the moon came up in the sky, and the moon himself thinks very, very beautiful, because the moon, like in the literature, it's always mentioned that the moon is supposed to be very beautiful. And that moon was told by somebody that he is no comparison to Krishna. So when moon came up to see Krishna at that point, moon was surprised by seeing the beauty, that moon himself fell off from there, his position. It seems that moon got himself affected by the beauty of Krishna, that he could not accept. And Krishna consoled the moon. In the Bhagavatam it is expressed in a different way, that when the moon fell off from the sky, it broke into pieces, into so many pieces it seems. That the way it was broken was, why it's explained like this, that Krishna told the moon, don't worry about it, I'll put you on my feet. And when the moon has broken into 10 pieces, he put that moon on the 10 different toes. And that is why it is in later on in the Bhagavatam you will find there is an expression about Krishna, Nakamani Chandrikayam Kavi Hari Andariksha, the 9 sages who came to see Krishna, came to Janaka Maharaj's palace to discuss about the Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness. There they have expressed this point of view, that all the moon has broken up and these moon pieces have gone onto Krishna's different toes. And all the 10 toes had these moon fixed upon that. Nakamani Chandrikayam, that the beauty has been taken over by the moon's beauty has been shared by Krishna's all the toes. Just like sometimes they give the example like this, during a day or feast at home, sometimes small children, they want to eat something and they'll come to the kitchen. And when they come to the kitchen, mother will give them a papadam or something like that to take it with them. And they'll carry the puppet, and before they could walk, they'll fall and break the whole puppet. So similarly, the moon has broken into pieces, and Krishna has accepted the moon on the toes. And that is how the beauty of Krishna has even affected the moon that day, when the moon came to see Krishna. Sharadudashaye sadhu jadasal sarasi jodara shri mushadrisha suradanathade ashulkadasiga varadanignado nehakimvathaham vishajalapyayal vyalarakshasal varshamarudal vaidyudanalal vishamayalpajal vishwadobhayal krishavadebhayam rakshidamuhum. So the gopis express these different fears, how Krishna has released them from different kinds of fear they were experiencing during their life in Vrindavanam. That instances, for example, like from Kaliya serpent, how Krishna has protected them and looked after them. Vrishamayal, Valsasuram and Vyomasuras and so many other demons. Similarly, Akhasura, Vyalarashasal, and from them, from Akhasura, Krishna has protected the gopis. The gopis' question was that you have protected us from all these dangers, and why have you left us in this situation today, like us in this situation alone, in this middle of the forest and the middle of the night? So that was the question gopis were raising to Krishna. Varshamarudal vaidyudanalal. Similarly, when Govardhana hill was lifted, Krishna has lifted the Govardhana hill. At that time, that the Indra decided to flood the place with heavy rain and thunder and lightning and all that. And from that, all that, Krishna has protected the gopis. So gopis could not understand that if Krishna wanted to give trouble to them or kill them like that, he could have done that before. But he did not do that. He has protected them all. So in fact, gopis were in a dilemma, thinking that why Krishna has protected us all the time, only today Krishna is acting like this towards us. And then out of sheer frustration, the gopi said to Krishna, Nakadu gobiga nandano bhavan. You are not any member from our our people, our gopis. You are not a member of our family in any way. You are not the son of a gopi. Not in other words, they were saying to Krishna that you are not even the son of Mother Yashoda. Because if you are Mother Yashoda's son, you would not have acted in this way. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaralma drak. That akhila dehinam andaralma, that is, people are saying that you are the super soul of every living entity. That's what we understand. But gopis are asked this question that if it is so, why is that our desire, we are not looked after. You are also within us, but it doesn't look like that. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaralma drak. Vikhanasarthito Vishwaguptaye Sakamudeivan Satvadam Kulem. Brahma, Vikhanasarthito Vishwaguptaye. Brahma has prayed to Krishna that he should descend and he should protect the devotees. All the devotees should be protected. But you should not protect these particular, only gopis should not be protected. Did Krishna say like that? This was the question gopis have raised at that point. Is that Krishna has promised that he will protect all the devotees except the gopis? Is it like that? The gopis were asking this question to Krishna. So Krishna is sitting next to them and is listening to all these what was spoken there at that time. But Krishna did not appear himself in front of the gopis. He wanted to hear more what they had to say. Then, after that, Vishwaguptaye Sakamudeivan Satvadam Kulem Virachita Bhayam Rishni Dhujyade Charanamiyusham Samsradeir Bhayal Karasaroruham Kandakamadam Shirasi Dehina Shri Karagraham. Then, it was then that gopis were asked, talking to each other, and what should we say to Krishna? It was then one gopi mentioned this. Virajida bhayam rishni dhuryade charanamiyusham samsradeir bhayal. One who has fear of material life, or not only material life, from material existence, or called samsaram. One who has fear of samsaram, he should take shelter of Krishna. This is the conclusion of all the shastram, and he is released from that fear further. Charanamiyusham samsradeir bhayal karasaroruham kandakamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham. They said to Krishna that you should come and place your hand on top of our head. This gopi said, Shri Karagraham, that hand which has been holding the hand of Mahalakshmi, you should put that hand on top of her head and karasaroruham kandakamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham. In this way, that gopi has spoken. Srimati Radharani, who was listening to all this conversation at that time, she had looked at different gopis, what they were saying about Krishna. And in this particular instance, Radharani felt that this gopi has not completely spoken properly, because according to her, that suppose Krishna comes and puts his hand on the top of the gopis and told them to close the eyes, I'm going to put my hands on top of everybody. And they stood there, and he puts his hand and it goes away. That's not good enough. This is what the Radharani felt at that moment. And that is why, when the next gopi spoke, you will find there is this gopi wanted something more than just the hand being put on the head, or just being blessed by Krishna. That is why, Virajita bhayam rishni dhuryade charanami yusham samsradeir bhayal karasaroruham kandakamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham. Brajajanatihan mira yoshidam nijajanasmayadhum sanasmidaha bhajasaghe bhaval kingarismano jalaruhananam charudarshayaham. Then, Brajajanatihan mira yoshidam. Brajajanatihan means that one who relieves the distress of those in Vrindavanam or in Vrajam. That is what Vrajajanartihan means. One who has relieved their distress. And they all, gopis all recognized about Krishna, that Krishna has relieved them from all their distresses. So when gopis mentioned this to Krishna, Radharani was also listening. And Brajajanartihan Veera, this Arti means distress. distress. In Krishna, if you see in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna mentions about aarti. Aarti is different kinds of aarti is there. For example, aarti from illnesses. Somebody who has got very ill, that's an aarti. He is suffering in this material world. Somebody has got some other problem due to poverty or whatever other problems one has. So different kinds of aarti is there. There are so many desires in one's mind. Once long as one lives in this world, one wants to live healthy. At the same time, he wants to conduct his life freely without being dependent on anyone else. These are normal desires in a human mind. So when that is not possible, when that becomes difficult, there is some lot of distress in a person's mind. And gopis are indicating that to Krishna. Vrajajanarti hanvira yoshinam. Arti means that distress that comes from this distresses in material world, material life in this human body. So that Krishna has not forgotten this, these words of gopis. While speaking to Arjuna also, Krishna said, these are the people who come to me, who, four kinds of people. What are they? Chaturvidha bhajandimam, jana sukhrudino Arjuna, artho jinyasu arthaarti jnani cha bharata rushabham. You will find in the Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of people come to me, Krishna says. So when Krishna sent this to Arjuna, that these four kinds, who are they? Artha. Artha means one who is in distress all the time. Some distress or the other in life. Then there is Jinyasu. Jinyasu means who is just inquisitive. He is curious to know what is this all about, Krishna consciousness, and who is Krishna. He is just curious to find out. Jinyasu. Jinyasu is that. Then Artharthi. Artharthi is that one who just wants money. So Artharthi, this is one category of people who come to Krishna. Artho jnyasu arthati. Then again the last one, jnani. Jnani cha bharata rishabha. Jnani means one who is in knowledge. This jnani means, jnani's position is like this, that he sees Krishna everywhere, in every living entity. In other words, because his realization is so good in that way, that he's already gone ahead in his realization, that he doesn't require much of a help from Krishna, because he started already realizing that Krishna is present in every living entity. So because he is seeing Krishna in every living entity, he doesn't have any problem. He is already in that level of seeing Krishna in every living entity. That is jnani. So all these four kinds are there. Artha, jnyasu, artharthi and jnani. One who is distressed, one who is inquisitive, one who is after wealth and one who is in knowledge. Four kinds Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna asked Krishna at that time, out of these four, whom do you like the best? Naturally, isn't it? I mean, Arjuna had this genuine doubt to Krishna. Out of this, that is no problem, Krishna says. The first one, he said. Artha. Why? Krishna's answer was very abrupt, straight away. Krishna gave the answer also to Arjuna. That out of these four, I like the Artha. Because Artha, he is in distress. That's why he has come to me. But there are different types of artha also in this world. That's also important to remember. Like artharthi and artha, the two types of people. Artharthi, once he gets the wealth, what he wants, he gets it. He forgets Krishna. Then he would not come back. Then he will see when he is in distress again. He will come next time. Similarly, this artha is also like that. Sometimes artha, when he is in distress, he will pray to Krishna. Please get me out of this situation somehow or the other. I am in total distress that I cannot even if I want to execute spiritual life, I want to do some service to Krishna, I can't do that. That's my present situation. Or due to various other problems in this world, Artha is experiencing very hard time. So he will say to Krishna that somehow or the other, if you can help me to he is praying very sincerely to Krishna, that I do not want to experience too much distress in this world because I can't handle it. And at the same time, when this distress comes, he knows that this material body, once it starts giving trouble in some way or the other, it becomes very difficult to execute one's own normal routine activities in this world. And that itself is a cause of distress for anyone. And in the modern world particularly, it becomes more difficult that everyone is working so independently, lives in this world, that this artha is that category. So sometimes artha feels that, oh, my distress is over. Now he has to get another artha and then come back to Krishna again later. Otherwise he won't come back. So that's another problem with that. But still, Krishna says that Artha is, I like him because he has decided to take my shelter and come to me. That is a good recognition from Krishna. So Krishna also recognizes the position of an Artha. And when the Artha, when he gets protected by Krishna, or when he is sheltered by Krishna, Artha also feels a great gratitude to Krishna, which nobody else feels. Jijnyasu doesn't feel any gratitude. Jijnyasu thinks that I have to find out who is Krishna. He's studying the books, hearing from others, recognizes Krishna's position. But that gratitude, what the Artha is feeling, Jijnyasu, Jnani or Artharthi may not have. Artharthi is a pure businessman. He wants only money. He takes his money and then he will have some gratitude for some time, but that's also very external. And then he goes. But Artha, one who is in distress, that Artha's distress is, if he is a sincere soul, then distress will turn him out to be a good devotee. He will feel a great, so much gratitude to Krishna, because these short experiences in life, what Krishna gives to a devotee, that is what makes him, keeps him going in the spiritual life. It's not that everything he has studied from the books and acharyas have said or other devotees have spoken. No, that is not what keeps everyone in Krishna consciousness. In majority of the cases, everyone in due course of time in spiritual life, Krishna gives some realizations to him that some relationship between Krishna and the devotee is felt due to Krishna's mercy to the devotee. And that is the situation with Artha. Artha experiences that after a while, in the beginning of spiritual life, everyone is very attached to the material world, material life also, and enjoyment in this world, and so many big plans in the head, that is in everyone's head, that goes on. But in due course, what happens is that in due course, when one starts getting some realizations from in relationship with Krishna, he also starts feeling, after all, this life in this material world is also not worthwhile pursuing so seriously. Rather, I will spend my time more in serving Krishna, or in other words, finding out about Krishna, or in other words, wanted to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that desire for advancing in Krishna consciousness comes for an Artha very easily. And that Krishna sees that, and therefore Krishna also feels accordingly, reciprocates with the devotee. So, artho jitnyasur arthati jnani chabaradarshava. These four kinds of people Krishna spoke to Arjuna. And this artha, what Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, obviously Krishna had felt that when the gopi spoke this to him. Brajajanarthi hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadvamsanasmida bhajasage bhavad kingarismano jalaruhananam charudarshayam. In that verse, the gopi has said to Krishna that Braja Janarti Hanvira, you can say in two ways. One is Vira, or great soul, or great personality, Krishna. Or other words, it can also be spoken, Vira Yoshidam. That the gopis were saying, after all, we are your people. We are Vira Yoshidam. That Nijajanasmaya Dhumsanasmidaha. That nijajanasmaya dhamsanasmida, gopis attraction, gopis words to Krishna was that Krishna had, if any time anyone felt a little pride in their heart, that is what the gopis were discussing at this point, because the reason they realized that Krishna has deserted them and went away because of one reason only, that was because the gopis have felt a bit proud about themselves, and Krishna decided that at that point that he will go away from them. And gopis have also recognized this point, that they felt a bit proud, and that is why Krishna had left them. So therefore they are saying nijajanasmaya dhumsanasmidaham. Krishna's attitude, gopis are saying to Krishna, that you are such a personality that if any one of us felt a little bit proud, all that you had to do was to come and just smile. And Krishna's, that smile meant that after all, I know about you enough. Why are you so proud about anything? This is what that smile meant. And gopis were accepting that, recognizing that smile. And that is what it is said there. Brajajanottihan virayoshidam nijajanasmayadhvamsanasmidaham. That nijajasmayadhvamsanam, smaya means that proud, pride, what comes in. Dhvamsanam means to kill that pride. Krishna had to just look at them once and give a smile. That was enough. The pride was gone. Pride was gone. Because as soon as they saw Krishna, these gopis, you have to remember, they were the most beautiful people in the creation. They were the most beautiful people. Because after all, who are they? They were the Hrishicharis, Shruticharis, and the great sages who have come from their previous so many lifetimes. What they have done in spiritual life is beyond our understanding. That is how much they have executed austerities, penances, knowledge, everything what one can imagine. They have acquired and gone through all that in their previous lifetimes. So in other words, they were such great souls, and because they were such great personalities, Krishna has given them this opportunity to associate with Krishna in this relationship, what we find in the Gopiyajitam. Otherwise, for ordinary people cannot enter into that relationship what the gopis had with Krishna. That is the reason why they were purified to such an extent that they were able to speak in this way, what you find in the Gopika Gita. Prajajanartihan virayoshidam nijajanasmayadhvamsanasmidaham. That Krishna's smile was such a enough for them, that when they saw Krishna's beauty, they themselves felt that they are not beautiful. That is how Krishna conquered them every time, with his own beauty, unparalleled beauty that Krishna has exhibited each time when Krishna saw them. So that these gopis were great personalities from their previous life. In this opportunity, they had a close relationship with Krishna like this. Bhajasage bhaval kingarismano jalaruhananam charu darshayaham. So they were saying at that time that you should come in front of us, jalaruhananam, not like in the normal way, but jalaruhananam, that normally when you come, you are like a lotus flower. They were comparing Krishna's face to a lotus flower. Jalaruhananam charu darshaya. The gopi was saying, because Radharani has by now given the indication that we don't want Krishna just to come and look at us and put his hand on our head and bless us and go away like that. No, Krishna should come here, and we want to see him, and how we want to see his face, Krishna's face, lotus face, and feel that happiness from that smile, and at the same time bless us putting his hand on our head. So because in this verse you will see that this gopi was not totally satisfied with the statement from the previous gopi. Because previous gopi said that we just want you to come, put your hand on us. Shirasidehina shri karagraham. That's all she wanted, she said. But Radharani also felt at this time that that's not enough at this point, that Krishna should come and spend the time with us. Otherwise, suppose we are sleeping at night and Krishna comes and blesses all in our head and he has gone away. That he doesn't want. This is all the science of bhakti. Bhakti, if you understand from the acharyas, you will see they have a lot of things to say about pure devotion to Krishna. One who has understood the science of bhakti, there is a great literature, Srinarada Maharshi, who is the greatest acharya of the devotional process. He is the greatest devotee of Krishna. And this Narada Muni, who has developed many, many great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj and so many others, he has written a great literature called Narada Bhakti Sutram. And in this Narada Bhakti Sutram discusses, if you want to understand the various aspects of Krishna consciousness or devotional process, Narada Bhakti Sutram is the one of the most authorized literature on this bhakti process, Narada Bhakti Sutram. So in that Narada Bhakti Sutram, it's all written in the sutrams. They are aphorisms written in a particular way. And there, Narada Maharshi says there, Muga Aswadhanaval. That's all he says, one word about this devotion.
gopis this particular devotion. This statement, what you find here in this verse here, that what he said there was prajajanarti hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadvamsanasmida bhajasaghe bhavat kingaris mano jalaruhananam charudarshaya. That this statement has come like this because Nayadamuni says it's Muga Aswadhanaval. Muga Aswadhanaval means that suppose there is someone who is dumb, who cannot speak. Sometimes it happens like that due to some deficiency, that some people cannot speak. So, dumb people. And these dumb people, they are called Muga. Muga Aswadhanaval. Muga Aswadhanam means suppose sometimes there is a big feast being served. So this dumb person comes to the feast and he sits there. And because he cannot speak, he does not know what to say, whether he wants more, anything, while eating. People are coming and serving different dishes in the feast, isn't it? Everyone is sitting down in a row. And the banana leaf or whatever that is put in front of you. And the servers are coming one after the other and serving you all different preparations. And generally you know what you want. So you will ask the person, I want this, I want that, whatever you like to eat. This is how normally the right way to do it. So at that time, this person who cannot speak, he is sitting there with you. And the person who is serving may not know that he is dumb. He cannot speak. So he is serving and he is going quickly one after the other to the next person like that. So the dumb person, he cannot speak. He has to take everything what's given on his plate or on the leaf. So after a while, he has eaten everything what has been served to him. And then again the seconds come, he can't start serving seconds or the other sweet preparations or the different tastier ones are coming later. And this person, because he can't speak anything, he just has to eat everything. That is Muga Aswadhanam. Muga Aswadhanam, well, Narada Muni says that this is Muga Aswadhanam. Muga Aswadhanam means that because of your inability to speak, you are not able to enjoy the food like everybody else in the line. Why? Others will be saying, tasting every dish and saying to the next person, this is good or this is not so good. There is no salt in this or this is too sweet. Like this, we make also, this is all done nicely when there is a proper feast is served like that. So people, when the feast is served and sitting down and when it is served like this and when it is all done properly, everyone enjoy the feast and at the same time talking about the feast to each other, isn't it? That is the pleasure of eating. You have to always eat with friends. There is a statement in the Shastra like that one should not eat alone, you should eat with friends. You should eat with the devotees. In other words, you should eat with the devotee friends and brahmanas. And that is how one should eat. And that nature, that is why, because we enjoy eating like that. But unfortunately, this person, because he does not know how to answer or say anything about it, he just has to take what's been served on his plate. That is Muga Aswadhanam. So Muga Aswadhanam is not the happiness perfect. So therefore, those who are serving, they should know the person's difficulty and accordingly deal with it. That you have to give enough time or with some other way, have to understand what he requires and serve the prasadam to that person. That is necessary. But Muga Aswadhanaval means to enjoy, relish something in the association of everyone else. But for a dumb person cannot do it. So Narada Muni says like that in the Bhakti Sutra. Why he said like that? Because like this gopis are saying here, that you just come, put your hands on us and you go away like that. We don't know whether you have come or not come and you have given us your blessings or not. No, that's not what we want. That is why in the next verse that gopi said like this, Vrajajanati hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadvamsanasmidaha bhajasage bhavalkingarismano jalaruhananam charudarshayaha. We want to see you here right in front of us before you, so that we relish it in your presence, that jalaruhananam, that we see your lotus-like face. At the same time, you should shirasidehina kanda kamadam that you should bless us, or you should put your hand on our head at that time and come in front of us and do that. That is what this gopi added on to the previous gopi's statement. And Radharani appreciated that. That's what she wanted to hear from that gopi. Vrajajanarti hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadhum sanasmidaha bhajasage bhavalkingarismanom jalaruhananam charudarshayaha bhajasage bhavalkingarismanom. That we have, gopis were saying to Krishna, we have surrendered to you to that degree, to such an extent, and if you haven't accepted us in this way, what are we going to do? This was their kingari. Kingari means that purely servants, without any dasyam. Dasyam means complete surrender and servitude. We have taken that position and you have not shown any mercy to us. Jalaruhananam charu darshayam. Darshaya meant want to see that, Jalaruhananam, the lotus face. But charu darshaya, why charu darshaya? Charu darshaya means when a devotee deals with Krishna at different instances. This is, I'm talking about these great devotees. Devotees like Vilumangalam and so many others, great personalities who are constantly relating with Krishna in different pastimes in their life. They have attained their perfection. And they knew Krishna's mood, how it is. When they saw Krishna's face, they will recognize straight away. He is in an attractive mood or in a nice mood to deal with. And sometimes Vilumangalam also has made offenses to Krishna. And Vilumangalam had to pay heavy price also for that. Similarly with other devotees also, many, many devotees who had related with Krishna in that way, they know Krishna's mood when he comes in. Because Krishna comes to the devotee as and when he likes. That is first thing. Especially in the level of Krishna, Vilumangalam and others, Vilumangalam had regularly used to worship the deity at home. And he used to arrange everything, organize all his paraphernalia for the deity worship. He used to sit there and start the deity worship, and sometimes while the deity worship is going on, Krishna will come and take over many things and start eating from there. And Vilumangalam used to get upset about it, and one day with the left hand he moved Krishna like this from there. And the moment he did that, Krishna said, alright, we'll see you another day. And I'm not going to come here anymore, Krishna said to him. A young boy, 2 years, 3 years old, says to Vilumangalam, you won't see me again here. If you want to see me, I'll give you the address where you can find me. And Krishna told this and left the scene and went away from there. So when Krishna walked out, Vilumangalam looked at Krishna. At that time, Vilumangalam saw something in Krishna which he hasn't seen before. What was that? A look at Vilumangalam that, if you are so bold to get me out of my way by your hand like this, especially if you touch with the left hand someone like this, that's considered to be much more effective. It's not acceptable at all. So Vilumangalam by mistake did that, and he realized that Krishna didn't like it. So he walked out from there, he turned back and looked at Krishna. Krishna looked at Vilumangalam. So Vilumangalam saw that face. So what did Vilumangalam say to Krishna at that time? Hastamakshipayadosim. Then, okay, you didn't like my way, I have done it with the hand, isn't it? He says to Krishna. Balal Krishna kimal bhudam. That I have used force to get you out from here. I understand that. Kadayajaninidyasi paurusham ganayamite. Vilumangalam said to Krishna, you can walk away from here. While walking out also, you know, when children are a little bit naughty, how they walk, they will try to show you that, you know, I don't care what you can do, what you like, I'm going. That's his attitude. And Krishna was showing that explicit mood to Vilumangalam, that I'm going to walk out, you can look for me somewhere else. That was the mood. And Vilumangalam also sensed that and said to Krishna, Karaya Dhyadiniryasi, you can walk away from here. I don't have any problem with that. Paurusham Ganayamite. But see if you can get away from my heart. And Paurusham Ganayamite. He says to Vilumangalam, said, I would like to see if you are a boy, how courageous you are, that you can get away from me like this.
Krishna went a little while and came back after that. He says the omens are not very good, so I just decided to come back, he said. Vilumangala said, you sit down there now. Let me continue with my worship. So this is Vilumangala. People like, devotees like them, they have this relationship with Krishna. They know that Krishna's mood. And sometimes they enjoy these activities of Krishna. Krishna's way of rejecting them. Krishna's way of criticizing them. This is devotional consciousness, devotional relationship between devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why in the Karnamritam, Krishna Vilumangalam mentions this, that this relationship he had with Krishna. In many instances, many incidents, what happened between him and Krishna is mentioned in the Karnamritam at different instances. Vrajajanati hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadvamsanasmida bhajasakhe bhavalkingari smano jalaruhananam charudarshaya. Charudarshaya, that we want to see one of that mood, the gopis were saying to Krishna. That mood of charu. Charuta means that special beauty what Krishna exhibits in certain pastimes. That beauty, you won't see him in all the time. That beauty is difficult to find. Unless you have such a close relationship with Krishna, you won't find that beauty in Krishna. That when you come to that mature relationship with Krishna, at that time Krishna exhibits this, what is known as charuta. It is mentioned in many, many instances. All great devotees will Tvadhyane bihadulyam punarasugaradam chittam chanjalya hetoho abhyasadashudakyam tadavivashaidam tulkriva charudabhyam. That one person, when he wanted to studied a lot of Vedic literature, and he advanced so much on the path of knowledge, Jnanamargam. And Jnanamargam means studying, reflecting, and getting mind fixed up in the path of impersonal realization. That is Jnanamargam. So that Jnanamargam, he has gone so far in that process. But one day he recognized that Tadhyane, and he was meditating on Krishna during the time. Many hours in a day, he was meditating on Krishna's form without allowing the mind to go in any other directions. So jnanis and the yogis, they do all these things to somehow or the other to capture Krishna in their heart. That is their goal of the process. Jnanis, yogis, devotees, everybody is after Krishna. So jnanis and yogis, they have that process. And they study a lot and they reflect and they fix their intelligence and mind very strongly at Krishna's lotus feet. They take shelter in that way. And they want to keep that form in their heart and not allow that to escape from their heart. This is what they want to do. That's through the meditation process and all the other Ashtanga Yoga system, they try to achieve that. But when you receive Krishna in that way, in one's own heart, it is not so nice as it is a devotee who finds Krishna in a different relationship. Why? Tadhyane bihatulyam punarasugaradam chitta chanjalya hedoho. That at least that time, that the mind is very difficult. No matter how strong you are, the mind will not stay steady. It will start fluctuating here, there, everywhere. Sometimes, even after meditating on Krishna for an hour or two, sometimes something will push the mind away from Krishna's lotus feet and will go to something else. So if such a situation happens, then it becomes very difficult. Then to get Krishna back again into the heart, it takes a lot of effort. And sometimes due to our association with the material world, this can always happen. Chitta chanjalya hedoho. Chitta means the mind is such chanjalyam. It is always oscillating, isn't it? Mind is like that. It will go in one direction like a pendulum. And the very next moment it will tell you, that's not the right thing, going the other way. So like this, up and down, like a pendulum, it keeps going back and forth. Chitta chanjalya hedoho. Then abhyasada shushakyam. By practicing it, by constantly practicing it, one can bring Krishna to the heart. Abhyasada shushakyam. But if Krishna has to stay inside, then tadapivashayidam twal kripa charudabhyam. That at that point, what will attract, if you are not attracted to Krishna at that time, he will not be able to stay, to hold Krishna in your heart. And that is why that beauty in Krishna, at that particular instance, certain ways Krishna reciprocates his loving relationship with the devotee, that is what will keep Krishna in the heart. That is why it's mentioned like that.
tadapi vashayidam tvalkripa charudabhyam. Tvalkripa, by Krishna's mercy alone, that will happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You may do so many things mechanically, many processes are there, but in spite of all that, unless and until Krishna gives you that, a little bit of reciprocation from that, you won't be able to hold Krishna within your heart. Tvalkripa charudabhyam. That charuta, that special mercy, what Krishna shows through his different loving relationship with the devotee. And that is what makes that devotee to get attracted and attached to Krishna. So you can see how important that charuta is. And that's exactly the word the gopis have also used here. That charuta, that activity from Krishna's side, jalaruhananam charudarshayam. That charuta, that beauty, what Krishna has showing in his relationship with the gopis, that gopis will fall for it. And then they don't want to remember anything else except Krishna. They feel that they have fulfilled all their desires. So then that beauty will stay. Like all the childhood pastimes of Krishna, this is what was happening. From the Pyam's day onwards, right through the younger age, gopis were coming to Krishna every day. And they even did not look after their own children. They were coming to Yashoda Mai's home. We were discussing this before during the childhood pastimes. Why they all came and they all wanted to take Krishna in their hands and play with him and look after him and do so many things. Play with Krishna, offer him butter, milk. And they will ask Krishna to sing a song. They will ask Krishna to dance. One gopi asked Krishna to bring... Sri Shukan says in the Bhagavatam, Pitagonmana Padhugam. The one gopi was asking Krishna, you bring my shoes from inside. Let me bring it. Krishna was carrying on his head to the gopi. And sometimes gopis will ask Krishna to bring the stool. And from the inside the house to the kitchen or somewhere like that. And Krishna was carrying the stool for the gopi. All these different childhood, that is why Balalila, the childhood pastimes are so attractive, that in these loving relationship, gopis have seen Krishna's beauty. That beautiful and friendly, nice relationship what Krishna has exhibited, gopis have got fallen into that. And now you can see, they were remembering that and saying to Krishna that all those memories were coming back to them. That in the childhood, not many years ago, Krishna was at this time when the Rasa dance was happening, probably Krishna was 10 or 11 years old. But only a few years ago, the gopis remembered that how those sweet pastimes Krishna had done with the gopis, and the complaints the gopis have made to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda taking all the complaints and trying to deal with it. All these things we spoke about before. So those things is charuta. Charuta means that beauty in that relationship has captured the gopis' heart to such an extent. Gopis wanted to see that again in Krishna. That is why it says, Vrajajanarti hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadvam sanasmida bhajasagebhaval kinganismano jalaruhananam charudarshayam. So, that is what the gopis were talking about it here. And that they were saying to Krishna that we want to see that charuta again in you. So, then, when this was spoken, these particular words were spoken, that the gopis were also complaining about other things as well, that the vrajajanarti hanvira yoshidam nijajanasmayadvam sanasmida vajasage bhaval kingarismano jalaruhananam charudarshaya. Krishna has removed all their distresses. When they were in Vrindavanam, different kinds of distresses they are there. But in addition to that, they also remembered some of the other strange distress they had. Like in one instance, when Krishna broke the pot, earthen pot, where she was keeping the yogurt or butter, whatever that was kept stored in the pot, Krishna has broken and eaten all that. And eventually she decided to go and make the complaint to Mother Yashoda herself. So she went to Mother Yashoda and spoke to her about it. And Mother Yashoda said to Krishna, bring a golden pot and hand it over to her and finish the business. We don't want to hear this complaint anymore. Like this. Krishna handed over a golden pot to her, and she took the golden pot and she left Mother Yashoda's house. Another gopi on the way met her and asked her, where was she coming from? So this Gopi says to the other Gopi that I've been to Krishna's house and Mother Yashoda, I have complained about my broken pot and Mother Yashoda has handed over me this golden pot. She says to her, the other Gopi. So other Gopi also thought, maybe it's not a bad idea if I break a pot and go away with that and get another one. So she asked this Gopi, then her complaint was that Krishna has not come to my house and broken the pot. Because this is not a bad deal if I can get a replacement like this. So this Gopi said to the second Gopi says to the first Gopi that that what shall I do? How do I? He says, you do what you like, you can do whatever you want, but you go there with a broken pot and probably they will give you a pot. But then I'll have to tell a lie, isn't it? She said to the other Gopi. Gopi says to her, no, you go there and show the broken pot. And then Mother Yashoda will say something to you, don't answer anything. And they will understand it. So she goes second time with the broken pot to Krishna's house. And Krishna also knew what was going on with all these gopis, what they were interested in that time. So when second time this gopi goes there, then she showed the broken pot to Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda was asking her, look, I have got only one son. Don't go and make propaganda that he is breaking pots and this, that and the other. What do you want now? How many pots do you want? That was the question. Gopi didn't say one word because she didn't want to say any lie either. She's dead. So when she checked with Krishna that inside the house there were no pots, golden pots available, they ran out on that. But there were some pots which studded with jewels. And she told Krishna that bring that pot and give it to her and send her away. Like this, gopis have experienced different transactions with Krishna before. And all that they have not forgotten. In their mind, they had all these things in their heart. So they were saying here that Bhajasage Bhaval Kingarismano Jalaruhananam Charudarshayam. That gopis were absolutely in their love for Krishna has increased so much in their childhood pastimes that they were reflecting on this all the time, and that is what has captivated them. And at this point in time, they have come repeatedly saying to Krishna that they had no other desire except to take Krishna as their husband. That was the position they were in at that moment. And so in the next verse, when this verse was spoken, the next gopi have mentioned something more what the other gopis have not spoken before. Pranada kamadam padmajarchidam. Sorry. Pranada dehinam babakarshanam. Tranajaranugam shriniketanam. Panipanarpidam nepadambujam. Kranukucheshunakan dehrachayam. Pranada dehinam babakarshanam. This is, gopis have recognized that what is Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet is such that the moment you pay your obeisances to Krishna, all your sinful activities go away. Sinful reactions are wiped out. That is the beauty of the Krishna's lotus feet. That, who knows these things? The devotees, great devotees have confirmed this. Pranada dehinam papakarshanam. That one who surrenders to Krishna, fall at Krishna's feet and ask for shelter. Those people, such who are surrendered, and their sinful activities are removed. Krishna has looked after them. Krishna says, Pabagarshanam, Pranada Dehinam, Pabagarshanam, their sinful activities go away. If you surrender to Krishna and obey your obeisances to Krishna, that is what happens. All your sinful reactions go away. So because it is like that, Pranada Dehinam, Pabagarshanam, that the surrendering to Krishna means that when one offers the obeisances to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. It is not that Krishna stays there. Krishna runs towards the devotee who pays his obeisances. We may not see with our naked eyes what Krishna does when one pays obeisances to Krishna. But it doesn't matter where you pay the obeisances. Sometimes you may not get the opportunity to go to a nice temple or in front of the deity. You may not pay your obeisances there. But even if you pay your obeisances anywhere else, it does not matter. Even there, Krishna comes and accepts that surrender, accepts that obeisances that's been offered by the devotee. That is what it says here. Pranada dehinam papakarshanam. That many, many devotees who have studied the understood Krishna's reciprocation with devotees, they have vouched for that. They have mentioned this namranam sannidhate. As soon as you pay your obeisances, Krishna comes to you, accepts you. That is Krishna. Krishna is not indifferent to us. We don't see him with our naked eyes. We don't see Krishna. But namranam sannidhate. As soon as you pay your obeisances, Krishna accepts you there. That is the... Is there anybody who is more merciful than Krishna in this way? Namranam sannidhate satatama vipurante anabhyartidana pyarthan kaman ajasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadimjam. That is the way Krishna is. That a devotee goes to Krishna with various problems, various issues, what he has got, difficulties he has gone through. Krishna hears everything and finds some solution also to the devotee. Krishna doesn't let the devotee down any time. Sometimes people will say, oh, I have chanted so many rounds and I have done so much, but Krishna has not shown any mercy to me. That is the way they see it. But that is due to their indifference in understanding or lack of understanding of Krishna's position and the devotee's position. Sometimes devotee misunderstands things like this, that they expect from Krishna soon something, but before he has not even surrendered to him. So that surrender is not there, and then expecting some response from Krishna is very difficult. So there it is said that saradama vimurante anabhyarti dana pyarthan kamanajasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadinjam. That Krishna is such that not only he offers all the necessary, he knows what the devotee needs and accordingly he provides that. But at the end, what else Krishna does? Paramananda sandram gadimja. He also offers the devotee that, is it not enough that in this material world you are trying to get this, that and the other? And it is unending, endless material desires that has been disturbing him throughout life. One day Krishna gives that understanding to the devotee that stop this running after these different things in this world. You are not going to be happy here. There is no point in chasing every day different ideas and different things in this world and coming and asking me, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. And one day Krishna will give you that realization that it is all useless to go after all these things. And then paramananda sandram gadimjam. Ultimately, what should one ask Krishna? Not any of these things. This is all useless. At the end of the day, all these material acquisitions in this world, one day one has to leave and go, and they are not going to go with anybody. So at that point, one feels foolish that I had spent all my time in my life asking Krishna for all these different things, and at the time of death, none of them are useful to you. So therefore, Krishna is so kind to the devotee that at some point in time in his life, he gives this understanding to the devotee not to ask for anything anymore. Why? By that time, Krishna gives that realization of detachment and renunciation from material life and gives him the perfect understanding to ask for the right thing. What is that? Paramananda sandram gadimjam. Ultimately, to go back home, back to Godhead. That is what one should endeavor very hard in one's life. That is what the life is meant for. And unless that understanding comes, one is not going to do that. And that understanding also has to come from Krishna. So Krishna gives you that understanding that this is what human life is meant for. That to finish this cycle of birth and death and go back to Krishna. So in order to do that, the material desires has to go from heart. As long as there is so many innumerable material desires, it's very difficult to come to the pure Krishna consciousness. All along the time in life, one is busy in adjusting the life one way or the other. And it never comes to any perfection. After many years, you come to realize this, that what have I achieved now at the end? So many years in household life, children grew up, provided them this, work hard for this, work hard for that, mortgage, this, that, everything, so many list, endless things. And at the end, you are thinking, what did I do all this for? What did I gain from this? Have to go now from here. And who is there with you at that time? If you have developed Krishna consciousness properly, with the right way Srimad Bhagavatam has spoken about it, then that asset, what you carry with you, is Krishna. That is only a set what you can carry with you. Rest everything else you have to leave here. So that is why it's mentioned here. Paramananda sandram gadim jam. So that is the way Krishna deals with it. Generally, everyone in this world work for two things. In the Shastram, it is very clearly mentioned this. Artham and Kamam. Arthagamam. Arthagamam is the goal of everyone in this world. We may say we are devotees, this, that and the other. But at the end of the day, if Artham and Kamam is not there, we don't want Moksham or anything else. First we want our Artham, first we want our Kamam. All our material desires we want to fulfill and we need wealth for that. Without wealth, you can't have your material desires. This is also a fact. So Artham is that and Kamam is the material desire. So everyone in this world, virtually, from day one, whether he's in spiritual life or not, they are all looking for Arthagamam. Arthagamam is the goal of all activities in this world. Sometimes we call them a karmi, sometimes we call them something else. It doesn't matter. But whatever it is these two things, Artham and Kamam, or Arthagamam is the thing that keeps this life going day after day. No one has that strong desire to go back to Krishna. So because it is like that, Krishna says, I will give you your Artham and Kamam. But Krishna is so kind that way that, you know, sometimes in the supermarket you buy two, you get a third one free. It is that third thing that's more valuable to us. Why? Paramananda sandram gadim jam. That you go back, come back to me, finish this business here, asking me, you have given me such a big list, Krishna says, that day after day your desires are building up all the time, something, and your endless plans in this material world, endless that is, that give up all this and come back to me, and then you feel a relief, oh, I don't have to make this list anymore, asking Krishna for different things. So, Arthagamam, and Krishna says, Arthagamam, leave it, and come back and get liberated, go back home back to Krishna. So that is how Krishna deals with the devotees. So, pranada dehinam bhava karshanam tranacharanugam shriniketanam tranacharanugam. See, every word in the Gaudiya Gita is potent with so much meaning. If you have to start talking about it, it takes a lot of time to discuss every single verse in the Gaudiya Gita. Gaudiya Gita is so wonderful presentation of the gopi's heart. Such a innocent and such a open devotion to Krishna, no one else has shown in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like the gopis have shown. So gopis' special position is only due to this, that because they have already reached such a high stage of perfection in Krishna consciousness, when they spoke, whatever the words they have spoken is also perfect in the way, as far as pure devotion is concerned. There is not a tinge of material desires in any of these things. That's why she is saying here, pranada dehinam bhavakarshanam tranacharanugam shriniketanam tranacharanugam. Tranacharanugam means tranacharanugam means that those animals who wander around looking for grass, trana means grass, and those ones who are chasing grass or who are grazing everywhere, that does not include, that's not only cows, you have to remember. And in Vrindavanam, when Krishna was looking after the cows, he not only looked after the cows, he looked after the goats as well as the buffaloes. You have to remember that. It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere. That, but generally, Krishna looked after the cows. But they are also Tranacharanugam. That is why that word Tranacharanugam is used. Not only cows, buffaloes and the goats as well. They are also always wants to eat grass, isn't it? Tranacharanugam Shriniketanam. Then, Tranacharanugam, they were chasing after grass. Now, when Krishna was going after them, Krishna never wore shoes in the early days in Vrindavanam, and he was looking after the cows or the tending the cows and the calves. Krishna walked in Vrindavanam with barefoot. That's how he used to walk. And shoes and other things came up much later when he became the king in Dwaraka. He lived in the palace with the queens and all. Krishna had all the other things. But as a cowherd boy, when Krishna wandered around in Vrindavan, he walked with bare feet. That is how he walked there in Vrindavanam. So gopis have not forgotten all that things. You see? So that's why he said here that Trinacharanugam Shriniketanam. That when the gopis were watching Krishna, that he used to wander around with the bare feet. And throughout the day, tending the cows in the forest, Krishna's feet used to get hurt. And gopis could not bear that. They were finding it very hard to see that happening. And now, in the two verses prior to this, one gopi said they wanted to see Krishna. They wanted Krishna to come and place his hand on their head. So the next gopi said, no, that's not enough. The next gopi's remark was that, more than that, we also want to see Krishna in front of us while placing his hand on our head. You know, this was the request from the second gopi. But when these two gopis have spoken like this, the third gopi is saying, "Or I don't think our disease will be cured by all these things. Coming in front of us, placing his hand on top of our head or anything like that. Disease is something deeper than that." So the third gopi, who is now going to say, she is going to say something different than what the other two gopis have spoken before. That's why you'll find in the next verse, Pranada Dehinam Babakarshanam Trinajara Nugam Shrimiketanam Panivanarpidande Padambujam Krinakucheshunakandihrachayam Krinakucheshunakandihrachayam. We want, you were saying to Krishna, come and put your feet on our chest. That's what the gopi said to Krishna. This gopi is saying to Krishna, we want that feet which you have used, which you are wandering around in Vrindavanam, tending the cows, come here and put that feet on our chest. The gopi said to Krishna. So you may wonder why gopis have said like this to Krishna, that to asking Krishna to put his feet on their chest. Because other two things is not going to solve our problems, this gopi was saying. Because Radharani was recognizing this, that is not good enough. That was not good enough. And it was then that this issue came up, why gopis have said like this. That pranada dehinam papakarshanam trinajara anugam shriniketanam. That lotus feet is the place where Mahalakshmi lives, isn't it? And Shriniketanam, Mahalakshmi's residence is that lotus feet. You have to understand the importance of Krishna's lotus feet. This is a topic of discussion in itself. Why Krishna's lotus feet is so important? Because this lotus feet is the shelter for everyone. Not only for everyone, every living entity has come from there. That is the place where we have all come out, Krishna's lotus feet. Why we say like that is, in the Purusha Suktam prayers, there is a reference about creation, how the creation has happened. That is in the Purusha Suktam prayers. And you will find there that lotus feet is referred to. Lotus feet is referred like this. Padasya vishobhudani. Padam means 1/4, quarter. Quarter is also padam. The quarter of anything is also padam. It is called padam. Padasya vishobhudani. There is a statement like this in the Purusha Suktam prayers. What does it mean? It means that all of us, all these living entities, every one of us is in the creation, has actually come out from Krishna's quarter portion of his lotus feet. That the living entity or the jiva, the living entity or the spirit soul, we have all originated from Krishna's lotus feet, a quarter part of it. That is how much it has taken to create all of us. You can see the understanding. It is a statement in the Purusha Suktam prayers, one of the most glorified prayers in the Vedas. So, Padasya Vishobhudani Tribadasya. The other 3/4 of that is in the spiritual world. It is still in the spiritual world. So, out of the total Krishna's potencies, 3/4 in the spiritual world, the quarter portion is where these whole things, what you find in this, all these planetary systems, universes, everything, what you are finding here, is all has come from that quarter part of Krishna's lotus feet. That is why it is said like that. Pranada dehinam papakarshanam trinacharanugam shrinigedanam panivanarpidande padambujam krinakucheshanakrandihrachayam padasya vishobhudani tripadasya amritam divi That is how it's mentioned in the Purushottam prayers. Padasya visho bhudani tripadasya amradam divi. That the other three quarter is where the spiritual world is. Krishna's rest of it is existing there. From the other. So that lotus feet is such an important shelter for everyone. Everyone, people go to Krishna, and when they pay their obeisances, they try to remember Krishna's lotus feet in their heart. Because that lotus feet is the shelter of the devotees, jnanis, yogis, everyone. That is the shelter for everybody. It is such a such a destination for the devotees. So, Nishimal Bhagavatam, this lotus feet has been discussed in so many places. You will find Krishna's lotus feet being spoken about so much. Why? Because of this. That is our origin. That is where we come from. Padasya visho bhudani tripadasya amradam divi. That quarter portion of the lotus feet is that. We are all a part of that. We came from the... See, in the creation, there is two things called samashti and vyashti. Vyashti means the... We are the Vyashtis, which has come from there. In a minute particle of Krishna's lotus feet, we have come out. And in Samashti, in a complete form, we all part that quarter portion of Krishna's lotus feet. So, this is our relationship with Krishna. So, we have come from Krishna, but we don't acknowledge that. We think we are independent. We have no independence. We are completely under Krishna's control. And at no instances we are separate from Krishna. This relationship is eternal. And the duty is to serve that lotus feet. We have no freedom to do anything else. Unless and until we recognize that, and that is what reviving Krishna consciousness means. Krishna consciousness reviving means to building that relationship back with Krishna. So in this case you can see that pranada dehinam papakarshanam tranachanarugam shrinigedanam padambujam. That lotus feet has got some potency, a great potency. That is what the gopis have found out. They found it out. That is why they are speaking like this. We do not know what is Krishna's lotus feet means, so we don't worry about it too much. We come and look at Krishna's crown and garlands and everything, and we say, oh, everything looks wonderful. Krishna's got some nice dress. He looks beautiful. But those who have understood Krishna's body, or Krishna's, those who have taken proper shelter of Krishna, the first place they will look at Krishna is Krishna's lotus feet. It is there, the shelter. The shelter is Krishna's lotus feet, not anywhere else. So, because it is like that, the gopis wanted to express this to Krishna by saying to them, if you put that lotus feet on our chest, our disease is gone. Disease is finished. In fact, it means a lot to us also. All our disease is here, isn't it? In the heart. The pride, the envy, the jealousy. You can list hundreds of items. Once Krishna put that lotus feet there, all these things are cleaned up straight away. And there is record for that in the Shastram to show this. That is why that Kaliya also, when Kaliya was, you remember in the Kaliya, in the subduing of Kaliya, in the previous chapters, in the 10th canto, when Kaliya started biting Krishna. Kaliya wanted to kill Krishna by by surrounding him like a coil and trying to squeeze Krishna inside. So many offenses Kaliya did to Krishna. But this very Kaliya, with all his poison inside, such a powerful poison, and he himself admits there that by nature we are Kalans. Kala means we are envious people. That you have given us that nature, what can we do? This is Kaliya asked Krishna like this. You have given us this nature of being envious. And this envy is in every one of us. We, no matter, we can say so many things, I am pure, I am this, I am that. All kinds of statements you can make. As long as you have this material body, and as long as you have material consciousness, envy is bound to be there. So, Kaliya was such an honest person. He said to Krishna, that every time you kick me on my head, Kaliya hasn't got one head, you have to remember. He's got thousands of them. So Krishna started dancing on them from one end to the other, isn't it? When Kaliya was subdued, that is how Krishna was. Each time he gave a kick on Kaliya's head, he was vomiting. He was vomiting blood, and along with that, a lot of that poison also was going out. So that poison included all these elements, like the jealousy, like the envy, like the attachment, like the anger, the greed, and all kinds of things, unwanted things, madam, malsariyam, krodham, and so many unwanted, impure things that keeps us in this material world and which makes the vasanas to degenerate another material body. That is inside us. And we have to recognize this. It's no point that I have used UD cologne and everyone I'm looking so beautiful outside. Inside is all poison. What's the point? So as long as this poison is inside, the only person who can get that poison out from there is Krishna. Nobody else. When Krishna goes in and he puts his feet here like he did with Kaliya, that is why that word is used there. Padivan arpidam te padambujam. He says, gopis are saying to Krishna, what you have done to Kaliya was a great favor. Padiprana pradiyadam. In the Bhagavatam you will find, they were saying to Krishna, the all the wives of Kaliya says to Krishna, that our husband, we agree fully that he is a very real nonsense he is. The wives are saying to Kaliya, Krishna, because the way he has acted with you is not proper. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should have known that. And he should have come and paid his obeisances to you. Instead, what did he do? From the very first minute itself, he wanted to fight with you and give you as much trouble as possible. And you did the right thing, because by kicking him, a lot of that inside dirt or inside poison has gone out. At least he is now coming to his senses. So basically, we have to remember, all what we need is this kick. Every day a few kicks from Krishna. If we get it, in due course, our consciousness also will change. Otherwise, it's not going to change. It will continue like the way it is. Oh, who is Krishna? How do we know who is Krishna? What do we think that people are saying like this? But where's the guarantee Krishna exists? And so many things. So all nonsense we will talk about Krishna also. So in order that mentality has to go away from there. The gopis are saying to Krishna that, Panivan arpidam de padambujam. That if you put that lotus feet on our chest, gopis were complaining to Krishna that let us be purified by your keeping that chest on our heart. This is the gopis' prayers. Just see how conscious they were of Krishna's presence, association with Krishna and relationship with Krishna. In everything they had attained perfection. That is why they were able to pray like this. Do any of us pray like this to Krishna? We pray to Krishna. Our prayers are the most interesting. Our prayers is list of demands, what we need from Krishna, so that I can live comfortably in this world, and at the end I can also go back and enjoy in the spiritual world. This is our prayers. Gopis are saying to Krishna that, purify me from this consciousness what I have got into, this material consciousness, and in such a purified state of mind. Even there, the gopis are saying like this to Krishna. So just see how glorious the gopis are. That pranada dehinam bhava garshanam trinajaranugam shrinigedanam panivanarpidam de padambujam krinukujeshunakrindihuchrayam. That gopis have mentioned this to Krishna. And Krishna was listening to this. That gopis reciprocation in this way. That gopis were mentioning these things as important for them, and they were glorifying the strength, position of that lotus feet, the importance of Krishna's lotus feet. At that time, some doubts came up. Sri Shukan himself mentioned this, that how can you say to Krishna to bring his lotus feet and put it on your chest like that? Do you know this lotus feet, what it means actually, Krishna's lotus feet? Sages, let's say Sri Shukana himself has raised this issue with the gopis, that how can you say like this? After all, Krishna's lotus feet is the one which great personalities are looking for, isn't it? The position of this lotus feet in the Shastram discuss Krishna's lotus feet. It is such a exalted position of a for a devotee wants to worship in all his lifetime. It is Krishna's lotus feet. Surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. Not anything else. That is surrendering to Krishna means. Why do we pay obeisances? Because we want to feel that we are at Krishna's lotus feet. Shirome malpadayo hritva bahubhyanja parasparam prabhanyam pahimamisha vidam mrityugraha naval. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a prayer like this. At the end of your worship to Krishna, deity worship, at the end, after you have done everything, you should pay your obeisances. And what does he say? Krishna says there, hold my both feet together with your hand. Shirome malpadayo hritva. Malpadayo, at my feet, put your head there and touch my head. Touch my feet with your head. Krishna is saying this. He's teaching Uddhava how to do deity worship. These are all part of the deity worship, Kriya Yogam process. Later on, it comes in the Bhagavatam. Shirome malpadayo hritva. And then, hold my both feet together with both hands together. Bahubhyanja parasparam. With both hands you hold that feet together. And then Uddhava said to Krishna, what should I say at that? Then you should tell me like this. Krishna is teaching us how to pray to him. This is what he is teaching us. Prabhanam pahimam isha. I have now surrendered unto you. Please take care of me. This is the prayer to Krishna from the Krishna is teaching us how to. This is what a devotee should pray to Krishna. It's one of the best prayers in the Bhagavatam. Shirome malpadayo hritva bahubhyanja parasparam prabhanam pahimam isha. I have completely surrendered unto you. Surrendering unto you, I take shelter at your lotus feet. Why? Krishna says, why? Bidam mrityugraha arnaval. I am frightened of death. This is the reason. That is the way one should come to me, Krishna says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see that Krishna is reminding us a big thing in life, what's going to happen later, called death. Normally people are not aware of that. They are not taking very seriously about the death that is going to happen later on. We are not given much of a, hardly 1% if we think about it. Sometimes a thought may come through the mind, one day death will come, we'll see at that time. As long as I can get on like with my life. Get on with your life, they say like that, isn't it? So you get on with your life. You don't do anything else about death and death. Who cares? That's another issue. It's not an issue at all. But Krishna is teaching us, become a bit sensible. Become conscious of this that's waiting there for you. It's not going to be maybe an easy ride for the next 20, 30 years. But after that, no matter when the death comes, no matter how big he is, any powerful person, there will be a little bit of fear inside. Doesn't matter whether it's a prime minister or president or a dictator or anything else. The moment that fear gets in, that he's going to die in the next few days or few hours, then he will also become a little frightened. Because after all, in this world, all you've got is one material body. And this material body is the most dearest things to anybody. Everyone loves their body first, isn't it? And the moment you know that you are kicked out of the body, then you are concerned what's going to be the next position. You may say that, oh, I'm not frightened and all that. Many people will say like that. But the reality is there that inside the fear will straight away come. And that is why Krishna is saying here, Shirome malpadayo hritva bahubhyanja parasparam, that first you pay your obeisances to me and touch my feet with your head. My feet, Krishna says, bahubhyanja parasparam, then hold my feet with both your hands and say to me like this, prabhanam pahimam isha, that I have now taken your shelter. I have no other shelter in this world. And this you should openly say to Krishna at that time. And then Krishna will ask, what are you frightened about? You say to me, bidam mrityugraha arnaval. I'm frightened about death. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us. So those who are fearful about death, Krishna's lotus feet is the shelter. So the sages said to gopis that if it is like that lotus feet, how can you say to Krishna that bring that lotus feet and put it on our chest like that? So gopis said to them, the answer from the gopis was that, that I am not too bothered what you think and what you don't think about it. We are not bothered because we know that lotus feet has been going through Vrindavanam, chasing the cows and chasing the chasing the sheep. And Krishna has done this, and that time that lotus feet we have seen. And that lotus feet we want it badly on our heart. Why? Panibanarpidande padambujam krindukucheshunakrandihrachrayam. So the gopi's answer was that you may say that it is sinful to say like this, that great yogis, jnanis and great personalities, they are taking shelter of that lotus feet. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and many Brahma Shankara Mukhana Piha Pashubangana Subahumanayan Bhakta Loga Gamaniya Rupa Kamaniya Krishna Paribahimam. Famous prayers, and they also say like this, that lotus feet is our shelter. And you are saying, gopis are saying, then bring that lotus feet and put it on our chest. Does not that look a little bit offensive? They felt. Gopi says no. But then the sages reminded them, do you know the history of this lotus feet? It is this lotus feet of Krishna that has done so many great wonders in this world. So many examples in the Puranams about Krishna's lotus feet. In the previous lifetime, once Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they were young boys at the palace in Ayodhya. So one day Vishwamitra Maharshi came there and took Ramachandra and Lakshmana away from the palace with the permission from Dasharatha. And they were going to Mithila for the marriage after the killing Tataka and also killing the other demons who were disturbing Vishwamitra's sacrifice. Vishwamitra was a powerful sage who had great capacity to fight all of them in one stretch. He didn't require Ramchandra's help in that time. But still, Vishwamitra had different reasons why he took Ramachandra and Lakshmana from the palace together with him. Reason being that Vishwamitra had, at that particular time in the history, he was the greatest innovator of the weapons, weapons of mass destruction, you can say. So those weapons, what he has found out, developed, he wanted to hand them over to someone who has got the proper state of mind, when to use it and not to use it. Otherwise, these weapons have one problem. If it goes into the wrong hands, it can cause havoc in this world. So knowing very well, Vishwamitra has developed all these weapons at that time. So don't think that developing weapons is only happening today. It's happening then also. So throughout history you'll find that weapons were developed. Only difference was these weapons were not exactly the way it is working today. They were used with proper understanding and not giving any pain to those who are not involved in the war. So that was a different kind of warfare altogether. Dharma Yudham, as it was mentioned later. So Vishwamitra was taking Ramchandra and Lakshmana away, knowing very well, although he could do all these things, he wanted the help from Ramchandra and Lakshmana. So accordingly, Ramchandra helped them to kill Tataka and all the other demons also who were disturbing Vishwamitra in performing the sacrifices. So after that, when they were coming back to the palace to Ayodhya, on the way back, this incident happened when Ramchandra was walking Ramchandra and Lakshmana was following him behind. Suddenly at some point, Ramchandra's, when he was putting the feet on a stone, the dust from Ramchandra's lotus feet fell on that stone. And the stone immediately melted, and from that stone came up one of the most beautiful personalities from there, Ahalya. So you can imagine what Vishwamitra stopped, and Lakshmana also looked, and Ramchandra asked, who are you? The personality. Ahalya paid her obeisances to Ramchandra and said, Kalyam Kurvan Ahalyam, Kalyam Kurvan Ahalyam Padibada Rajasi. That even the feet has not even touched the stone. Just the dust has fallen from that feet onto the stone, it got liberated at that point. Ahalya spoke to Ramchandra about her history behind, how she got cursed by her husband Gautama Maharshi due to her mistake or wrongly associating with Indra, who actually cheated her. And due to that, Gautama Maharshi has cursed her, and for thousands of years she had to stand there like a stone. And from that stone-like condition, she was liberated and brought back into her original form as Ahalya by this dust that has fallen from Lord Ramchandra's lotus feet. So this is the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna and Ramchandra is non-different. The personality is the same in two different times appear. So the lotus feet, importance of lotus feet is this, that lotus feet has got this great capacity in there. And knowing very well these things, the sages mentioned this to the gopis, how can we ask Krishna to put his lotus feet on our chest like that, in your chest like that? Is that not wrong thing? But gopis' position, they also didn't know. This is what it's showing there, that gopis have gone so far higher in their position that only gopis can say to Krishna like this. We cannot say to Krishna like this. We have to say to Krishna, you kick us on our head. That is what we have to say. Gopis can say to Krishna, you put your lotus feet on our chest. One reason gopis were saying like this with such a good heart, that they were saying to Krishna that if you put that lotus feet, all the desires in our heart, lusty desires in our heart, may go away. That was their prayers to Krishna. They can say like that. But we cannot say like that. We have not reached that level of understanding of the position of Krishna's lotus feet. Those who know about Krishna's lotus feet, they can speak like that. This Krishna's lotus feet, it's not only in one instance. How many places? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, everywhere. Krishna's lotus feet. So you can understand how important it is that taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That is what it means. So the Ahalya's case, as we saw, how Ahalya got back her spiritual body. She came back to her original state of body and got liberated herself from this condition. And that is the potency of Lord Ramchandra's lotus feet or Krishna's lotus feet. So because it is like that, in the another instance in the Ramayanam, we will go back to Ramayanam, because Ramayanam is full of these incidents showing the potency of this lotus feet. Bali and Sugriva, as you know in the story, the two brothers, they fought with each other, didn't they? And eventually, Bali decided to beat up Sugriva. Sugriva lost the fight. So Bali stole Sugriva's wife, Ruma, and took her and went away. And he was managing the kingdom from Kishkinda. It's in the Kishkinda Kandam. In the Ramayanam, you can read that. So at that point in time, when Bali was Bali has defeated Sugriva and took away his wife, it was then that in their search for Sita Devi, Lakshmana and Ramachandra arrived there, and they had made the agreement with Sugriva, and Anjaneya or Hanuman was deputed along with so many other monkeys to search for Sita Devi. But prior to that incident, in the Ramayanam, Sugriva and Ramachandra has made a deal. The deal was that Sugriva's kingdom, which was taken away by Bali, who has taken away Sugriva's wife as well, Ramchandra promised that he will kill Bali and hand over the kingdom back to Sugriva. And in return, Sugriva will use his massive Vanara army or the monkey army, searching for Sita Devi everywhere and locate her wherever she is, and help Ramchandra to retrieve her from wherever she is. So this was the agreement between Sugriva and Ramchandra. So after this agreement was signed, Sugriva indicated to Ramchandra where Bali was living. Bali has stolen his wife and he was living in Kishkinda. So Ramchandra declared the war against Bali. And while killing Bali, Ramchandra was hiding behind a tree, because he knew that Bali was a very powerful fighter. And Sugriva and Bali were fighting each other. At that time, Ramachandra said to Sugriva that you continue fighting and I'll shoot an arrow and kill Bali at that time. And Bali, Ramachandra shot an arrow and Bali fell down. Of course, there is a little bit more than that. That originally, when they started fighting, the two Vanaras, Ramachandra could not recognize who is Sugriva and who is Bali. So eventually he told Sugriva to wear a garland so that he recognized who he was. And then he shot an arrow and pulled Bali down. So when Bali arrow was shot on Bali's chest, Bali fell down there. At that time, there is a conversation between Bali and Ramachandra. In that conversation, Bali was saying to Ramachandra, "Why did you do this to me? After all, I understand that Sita Devi has been stolen, and that is why you have made this agreement with Sugriva. And this person who has taken, I know who has taken, that it is that Ravana who has taken. And as far as I am concerned, who is this Ravana?" he says. Earlier, if you remember, there was a story that Ravana once went to see Bali, and Narada Muni has done this whole thing. And there he tried to mess around with Bali. Bali tied him down with his tail, and Ravana could not move an inch after that. For days together, that is how powerful Bali was. So Bali kept Ravana as a prisoner there with his tail together, and he had to eventually apologize and ask for forgiveness, and then only he got relief from there. So Bali said to Ramachandra, "If it was a question of Ravana, what was the need for all these things to kill me like this? And I have not done anything wrong to you. That I would have gone and brought that Ravana straight away, holding him by his hair, and brought him right in front of you with Sita Devi and offered him to you. Why? What is the need for doing this?" In the first instance, when you hear this, Bali's answer may look very logical. Bali's question. And Bali was saying like this to Ramachandra, "I would have brought him down here. What was the need to kill me like this?" At that time, Ramachandra said to Bali, that "I am not bothered whether you bring Ravana or not. My question here is, I am a Kshatriya king. And what you have done to Sugriva is wrong, that you have taken away his wife and living with her freely and feeling comfortable. So it looks like this, that the stealing wife and all that were common those days also among the Vanaras. It's not only the modern phenomenon. Even in the olden days, this used to be the practice. It looks that Bali did this and Bali said like this, and Ramachandra's answer was like this. As a Kshatriya king, I have to establish dharma. There is no question of showing any concession. What you have done is wrong. It is adharmam. It is a religious thing. And me, I will not accept that. I am a Kshatriya. I have to make sure that you have to pay the price for it." And therefore, he punished Bali very severely. And he shot this arrow on Bali's chest. And Bali was lying down with the arrow on his chest. So at that time, Bali said, "If it is like that, whatever you have done is, I have nothing to say about it. It is, you are the..." Because Bali knew the religious principles, that what he did was wrong. In the modern world, it's not considered wrong. And any of these things are not considered wrong at all. Everything is, if it suits you, that's fine. You do what you like. This is the attitude. But that is difference. That is the difference in the Varnashrama Dharmam and no Varnashrama Dharmam. These things are acceptable. But Bali's activity, Ramachandra condemned so much that what he did was totally wrong. And he said to Bali that, "I will not tolerate it. You have to give up your body," and decided to kill him there, and he shot the arrow. But after the arrow was shot, Ramachandra was standing there, and Bali made a request to Ramachandra to put his feet on his chest and pull the arrow out from Bali's chest. Ramachandra could have said to Lakshmana, "Lakshmana, you take care of it now, pull the arrow from there." Lakshmana was standing next to him. But the request from Bali was asking Ramachandra to put his lotus feet on Bali's chest. Because Bali knew that once Ramachandra put his lotus feet on his chest, he is released from this material world once for all. And this was knowledge of Bali. And not only that, in the Ramayana you will find, when Ramachandra put the lotus feet on Bali's chest, he put his right foot there and started pulling the arrow out. Along with that, Bali's soul went back to the spiritual world. That this is Bali's Bali's death. That Bali, that lotus feet has that potency. As soon as Ramachandra put the feet, the pain was gone from the chest. Bali was smiling when Ramachandra was pulling the arrow. That is because of Ramachandra's lotus feet was touching Bali's chest. So this lotus feet is such a thing in the mentioned in the Bhagavadam. The lotus feet of Krishna, lotus feet of Ramachandra, they are not like our feet. Our feet is pain all the time. What is our feet? It's insignificant, useless, and it has got all the problems. But Krishna's lotus feet is different. Krishna's lotus feet is the Yogindranam Todangeshu, who all take shelter of the lotus feet. You can see yogindranam tadangeshu adhikasumadhuram muktibhajam nivaso bhaktanam kamavarshadvidaragisalayam nadha te padamoolam yogindranam tadangeshu. Great, great yogis, masters among the yogis, or perfected yogis, their shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. Yogindranam tadangeshu adhikasumadhuram muktibhajam nivaso muktibhajam. Those who are liberated, their shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. All these personalities, great, great yogis, they take Krishna's shelter, lotus feet of Krishna's shelter. The great jnanis or liberated souls, they take muktibhajam nivasom, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Then who else takes shelter? Bhaktanam kamavarshaddi varivi salayam nathate padamulam. Krishna's lotus feet is the shelter for the devotees. Devotees have so many desires to reciprocate with Krishna, loving relationship with Krishna. And those desires is conveyed to Krishna through the lotus feet of Krishna. It is to the lotus feet of Krishna they pray that fulfill our this such and such a desire in relationship with Krishna. So pure devotees, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Great jnanis and who have gone through all the process of Vedic Shastras and acquiring spiritual knowledge and perfected it, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Great, great yogis, they go to Krishna's lotus feet. This is the beauty of Krishna's lotus feet. And that lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet is such that even great devotees are frightened to touch it. They are frightened to touch their lotus feet. They pay their obeisances, ask for shelter. That's all they do. For example, when Lord Ramchandra left the palace and went away, at one point, Bharata was deputed to bring Ramchandra back again to the palace in Ayodhya. Ramchandra went to the forest, isn't it? So at that time, Bharata went to see Ramchandra. I think it was in Agastya Muni's ashram that they met with each other. And at that time, Bharata, younger brother, asked Ramchandra to come back to Ayodhya to rule. But at that time, Ramchandra told Bharata that there was no question of returning. He has come with a certain mission and to help the sages to establish their sacrifices and also to travel through the forest as Kaikeyi wanted. But if Bharata insists, Ramchandra said, if he insists, in that case, he put before Bharata his two shoes, which was the shelter of the Ramchandra's lotus feet. So the two shoes he pushed forward to Bharata and told him, you take it back to Ayodhya and keep it there. And keeping this as my representative, these two shoes as my representative, continue the administration of Ayodhya properly. This was the instruction from Ramachandra to Bharata. From there you can see, Bharata took those two lotus feet, put it on his head and went back to Ayodhya. Why? That lotus feet, that shoes carried Ramchandra's lotus feet all along. In other words, the lotus feet represented there with the shoes that was carried by Bharata to Ayodhya. So from here you can see how reverentially, that the reverence what Bharata and all the people of Ayodhya has shown to the shoes of Ramachandra. If to the shoes you are showing that reverence, how much reverence you have to show to the lotus feet of Ramachandra. That is what you have to remember. That lotus feet of Ramachandra, lotus feet of Krishna also is like that. That it is in the only when you reflect on these Vedic statements, you can see how important they are. That from the quarter of that lotus feet, all the living energies have come out. All that is in the creation has come from there. Tripadasya amritam divi, the rest three quarter is in the spiritual world. So you can imagine how massive the spiritual world is. If quarter is this what we are seeing here in this creation, what about that three quarter which rests somewhere in the spiritual world? This will indicate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Tripadasya Vishobhudani Tripadasya Amritam Divi Purushasuktam. Prayer says like this. All the Purushasuktam prayers are like this. Offering prayers to Krishna in this particular form as the Supreme Personality. And in that relationship, Padasya Vishobhudani Tripadasya Amritam Divi. That is why it's mentioned like that. So it is like that. And now in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what else is spoken about Krishna's lotus feet? And that is the most interesting part of Krishna's lotus feet. Although we were discussing Ramchandra's lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet is not different from that. The potency of that lotus feet, if you want to know, you have to ask Uddhava. Uddhava will tell you about it. Then after Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasi Skandam was spoken by Krishna, and Uddhava was instructed on the spiritual science after whatever that was spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. And after that, Krishna thought what else is to be spoken in the to Uddhava. And that is how the remaining transcendental knowledge Krishna has transmitted to Uddhava in the Ekadasi Skandam. We have spoken about this before also. So, after all that knowledge was delivered to Uddhava, Uddhava started crying. Because it is like that. When you get proper knowledge from Krishna, especially from Krishna, and you start appreciating that knowledge, what you have received, and you are completely taken away from, totally from ignorance. First of all, we have to recognize we are in ignorance. Right? So, once you are out of ignorance, one day it will happen to everybody who are advancing in Krishna consciousness, this will happen. That is what, why the English word is used, enlightenment. Why it's called enlightenment? Enlightenment means that the light has come to you now, or otherwise you started seeing things as you should see it. In other words, the ignorant vision has gone and the proper vision has come back. That is what knowledge means. So Krishna's instructions were such to Uddhava. At the end of the instructions, Krishna said to Uddhava that, what do you think now after hearing all these things? For 26 chapters, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava about the transcendental knowledge, what Krishna has instructed Uddhava. Uddhava heard all that thing, and at the last minute, Uddhava started crying. He could not resist himself, that the bliss that he obtained from hearing from Krishna and the realizations that has come to him, it has taken him, already he was in a liberated state of mind. So at that time, when he was leaving Krishna at that point, Uddhava was saying to Krishna certain things. And at that time, there is a recognition of Krishna's lotus feet. Uddhava was feeling desperate. Desperate means, he was not feeling desperate because that he was feeling separation from Krishna. That is what was feeling desperate for. He was feeling desperate because of that. Krishna told him that you can go to Badrinath, and from there, when I call you, you can come back to the spiritual world. This is how Krishna puts it to him. So before going to Badrinath, Uddhava got up from there and started asked permission to circumambulate Krishna a few times. So Uddhava was crying and he was circumambulating Krishna. These are the final pastimes of Krishna in this world. After this, Krishna didn't stay in this world very long. He disappeared. I mean, he pulled back that form. We don't say that Krishna left his body. Krishna didn't leave his body. Krishna pulled back that form from our vision. He has pulled that form away. And nobody has seen what has happened. All the great sages, demigods, Brahma, Lord Shiva, everyone was watching. And that form was completely gone away from our vision. Krishna has gone back to his own abode, spiritual world. That is how we have to understand. So prior to this, is this incident happening with Uddhava. Uddhava knew that Krishna was leaving. So he transcircumambulated Krishna. And then again, he did not want to go. He kept standing there. So Krishna was insisting that Uddhava should leave immediately and go to Badrinath. And Uddhava was crying. He could not imagine that after 115 years of association with Krishna, Uddhava was thinking how he could live in this world without Krishna. How could live, exist in this creation separately as without Krishna? This was in Uddhava's heart. You can imagine, normally even in this world, suppose you live in one place and you get to know some neighbor who are living next door, or who also has come from somewhere else and they are also living there. Over a period of time, some relationship is built up with the neighbors. And one day, due to some reasons, either job or whatever it is, the other neighbor has decided to leave. He has to go somewhere else. So naturally, by now a certain attachment has built up, isn't it? You will also feel a little uneasiness. Oh, you are leaving us. That will cause a little uneasiness. But that is after a short period of time in this world. If this can happen to our conditioned mind, how much Uddhava would have felt in that spiritual relationship with Krishna that he had to leave him after 115 years. That is what you may not be able to realize it straight away. When we talk about it, you may think it is such a simple thing. It is not a simple thing. It is a very it's a very serious thing as far as Uddhava was concerned. Krishna was unattached. He is not attached to anything. Nisangada. That is, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you will find no attachment anywhere. Even his own people, Yadavas and Vrishnis, who are his own people, at one point Krishna decided that they should also go, because if they stay here, there will be a problem. So they should also be taken out. So that is Krishna, no attachment anywhere. But Uddhava's case was different. Uddhava's attachment to Krishna was such that he could not imagine in his dreams that he is separated from Krishna. So many years, 150 years with Krishna, that is Uddhava's life. So at that point, Krishna told him to go to Badrinath, and in answer to that, Uddhava has spoken to one verse to Krishna. Sudushtrajasneha viyoga kataram nashaknuma sambarihadu madhura krachamya yomurdhani bartravaduge vibhran namaskrite yopuna punaha Sudushtrajasneha sneha kataram. That Uddhava is saying to Krishna that I have, this mind is now difficult to break away from your feet. It has got so attached to it that so many personalities, Vidura for example, Vidura also mentioned this. When Uddhava and Vidura met with each other in Vrindavanam, before he arrived in Badrinath, this lotus feet of Krishna has handed over his shoes to Uddhava to take it to Badrinath. That is how the departure from the Uddhava's Badriyatra or travel to Badrinath begins, carrying Krishna's shoes on his head. So Vidura asked Uddhava whether he could have a look at that shoes once again. So immediately Uddhava understood why Vidura was asking that question, because when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Vidura also used to spend some time in Dwaraka. And at that time, Krishna has allowed Vidura to wash those shoes every day and bring it back nicely polished and keep it for Krishna to use it. So, for some time, Vidura, because of this washing and polishing Krishna's shoes, Vidura has developed some attachment to those shoes, because those shoes carried Krishna's lotus feet everywhere. And because Vidura was attached to Krishna's lotus feet, Vidura took shelter of those shoes as representation of Krishna's lotus feet. And now that shoes have gone to Uddhava's possession. So Vidura was praying to Uddhava to give that shoes to Vidura so that he can once again respect it before it is taken away from him. As soon as Uddhava opened up his bundle and handed over the shoes, Krishna's shoes, to Vidura, Vidura took them, put it on his head and started crying. All this, that was the potency of, if the potency of the shoes is like this, what will be the potency of the lotus feet? That is what you have to remember. Sudushtrajas sneha kadaram, that the attachment was such. Kricham yayo murdhani varta baduge. Uddhava put this lotus feet on his head and started walking in ecstasy. He could not, he said to Vidura, the moment this lotus feet goes on my head, then I don't want to know anything what goes on in this world. He was free from everything. In other words, fully blissful state of the spirit soul. That is Krishna's lotus feet. Krishramyayo murdhani bartribaduge. Krishramyayo murdhani bartribaduge. That as soon as Krishna's lotus feet falls on my, on the top of my head, and immediately I am released from everything. I have nothing to do with this world. This was Vidura's consciousness. Vibhran namaskrityayo puna punam. That as soon as Krishna handed over that, Krishna pacified Uddhava, that if you are, because Uddhava was not leaving, although Krishna was saying, telling him to go, he says, I can't go. I am stuck here. He says, my mind is not allowing me to go. It was then that Krishna said to Uddhava, take these shoes, and pushed both the shoes to the front. These are the same shoes, he said, I given to Bharata previously. You can now take it, he says to Uddhava. So Uddhava took those shoes, put it on, he said, Krishna Bhartravaduge Vibhram Namaskrtye Yau Puna Puna. After getting the shoes also Uddhava won't go. He still started paying obeisances after obeisances from there. That is how he felt. That is the attachment of devotee. A devotee who is attached to Krishna, he sees Krishna's lotus feet, and when he sees the lotus feet, he remembers these things. The relationship of these great personalities, Vidura, Uddhava, Bharata, Ahalya, and Bali, all so many endless lists in the Bhagavatam and other in Ramayana also, to show what is Krishna's lotus feet means. So now from all these things, you can get a glimpse of what we are talking about, why this lotus feet is so important. That devotees take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. It is a lotus feet, is a shelter for everyone. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says this in the prayers, isn't it? That in the Shikshashtakam also he says that that these prayers to Krishna's lotus feet to protect one from pure devotees, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. They don't take any other lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet, they take shelter. And that's why they are becoming Pranada Dehinam Papakarshanam Trinacharanugam Srinigetanam Panipanarpidam De Padambujam Kranukujeshu Nakrandi Hrachrayam. So gopis knew all these things. That is why they are intelligent. They are not. They knew what we should ask to Krishna. So this particular gopi said to Krishna that if you bring your lotus feet and put it on our chest, that's enough for us. That's all we want. At that time, Radharani started saying, no, that's not good enough. Because first of all, we don't know where the disease is. You see, if you know the illness, you have got some illness in your body, at least you have to tell the doctor what the problem is, isn't it? Unless you are able to tell the doctor where my disease is, how can the doctor treat you? So here, Krishna is the doctor. And the gopis are saying, we are sick because we don't know what to do. But at least now we will tell you where our disease is. The disease is here, in the chest. That's where our problem is. So, but Radharani says at that point, it's not sure whether this treatment will work. Because sometimes the medicine has to be taken from inside. External treatment alone may not work. This is what the thoughts were at the gopis. All these different verses, one follows the other. And you will see the progression in each of the gopis' statement that they were, all of these gopi, all these verses in the Gopika Gita are such wonderful verses. And every single one of them reveals the heart of that particular gopi. And all of them were so pure in their heart that, and their relationship with Krishna was such that under no circumstances they could leave Krishna and go. And under all conditions, even in such distressed conditions, they will still were hoping that somehow or the other they could serve Krishna's lotus feet. This was their heart. That was the beauty of the Gopika Gita, or the beauty of their heart. So when this was spoken, Pranada Dehinam Papakarshanam Trinachara Anugam Srinigetanam Panipanarpidam De Padambujam Krinukujeshunakrandi Hrachrayam. That if you leave that lotus feet on our chest, probably we will escape from our problem. That is what one gopi said. Then another gopi said, no, the treatment has to be from inside. And that treatment is the next line. Madhuraya Gira Valguvakeya Budhamanojnaya Pushkarekshana Vidhigariri Mavira Muhyadi Atharasidhuna Pyayasvanam. That gopi was saying that it is not enough if you keep your lotus feet on our chest. Rather, we have to taste that nectar that comes from your from your mouth, the saliva. That is what they were saying. And the glory of that saliva is what is discussed there. Madhuraya Gira Valguvakyayam Budhamanojnaya Pushkarekshana vidhigaririmavīramuhyadi atharasidhuna payayasvana. That gopis were saying to Krishna that these Krishna's lotus, Krishna's the nectar from Krishna's mouth, if that comes to us, if we can drink that, that will probably relieve us from our distress. That's the only thing that, in other words, the separation from Krishna was so unbearable for each of those gopis. From this, all these verses, if you are a little bit serious, you can understand the heart of the gopis from these verses. How serious they were in their relationship with Krishna. How much they felt that separation from Krishna. That separation that was coming through in different forms, they were expressing this. So this particular gopi was saying, Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya budhamano yaya pushkarechana vidhigariri mavira muhyadi adharasidhuna payayasvanam. That adharasidhuna payayasvanam. Even the nectar. Nectar, what nectar? They said nectar from the, well, they churned the milk ocean, the nectar came out. But that nectar is not comparable to this. Why? Madhuraya gira valgu vakyayam. That when Krishna has spoken very, very sweet words before, and when he spoke that sweet words, the saliva has been affected by that. And that because of the sweet words that has touched the saliva, they were saying that, Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya budhamanojnaya pushkarechana. Pushkarechana, one who has got the lotus eyes. So that the intelligence has been by taking that nectar from Krishna's mouth, gopis felt that they will be purified further. That was their desire from that moment. That they were saying that is the medicine what we need. So the gopis were saying to Krishna that give us that, come back and associate with us in that way. That we are able to get that atharamradam or the nectar from your mouth so that we will enjoy that and at the same time it will purify us inside. This was their words to Krishna at that point. So different gopis you can see. First gopi said, come and bless us. Put hands on our head and bless us. And then we will be relieved from this distress. Then the next gopi says, no, that's not enough. You should come and show your beautiful face in front of us and then bless us and then maybe we'll be relieved from that. But then the third gopi says, no, that is not enough even. You should come and put that lotus feet on our chest and take away that poison from our heart and purify us like you did with Kali and so many others. And that way let us be purified. Even if these gopis are feeling that they are not purified, what about us? That's what we should think. That if the gopis are saying, who had such a constant association with Krishna during the whole childhood pastimes, and even in their heart, if a pride can develop and Krishna can disappear from them, how far are we from Krishna's association? This is what you can see from these verses. The Vedavyasa Maharshi did not put these verses here just to give some poetic feeling, to give us some poetic language and to enjoy the beauty of the literature. No, all this has been spoken to tell us that Krishna is not cheap. Krishna is not a cheap thing. That if one is expecting that one can obtain Krishna by a few days of austerities and penances and service, then he is mistaken. Krishna is the very most expensive thing in this world to achieve. And that requires a continuous surrender and continuous process of service to Krishna and purification. All this if this is the purified state of mind of gopis are speaking like this, what is the situation of a conditioned soul like us? This is what one has to remember. Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya budhamano jnaya pushkarechana vidhigariri mavira muhyati adharasidhuna payayasvanam. So the gopi said this to Krishna, that there is no question of purification unless we receive that. In every possible way, gopis were saying to Krishna, purify us, because a slight pride has developed in the gopi's heart. And that is what has caused all this problem, isn't it? That for a second gopi's thought, Krishna is under our control. That's it. That's finished there. Krishna disappeared. Srimati Radharani went back with Krishna. And later on, in Gobiya Geetam is also, you will find, this is the same topic that is discussed in Gita Govindam of Jayadeva Goswami. Jayadeva Goswami took Gobiya Geetam, and then Gobiya Geetam, a part of that, he expanded, Jayadeva Goswami expanded in Gita Govindam. Gita Govindam is also called Ashtavadi. Ashtavadi means there are 8 verses in each of them, and there is 12 cantos also, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But what happens there is, instead of Krishna's pastimes with every gopi, Jayadeva Goswami has picked up Srimad Radharani's pastime with Krishna separately. Along with that, one gopi who is working as an intermediary between Krishna and Radharani, and the conversation between Radharani, this gopi or Sakhi as she is referred to, and Krishna. This is Gita Govindam is all about. And in that Gita Govindam, there is the verses written there are so famous, what Jayadeva Goswami compiled, that he had the difficulty also there. He got into the same problem in Gita Govindam while compiling Gita Govindam. He got into the same difficulty. That all these different things, first of all, putting the lotus feet on the head and blessing, the gopis wanted to be blessed by Krishna. Then the gopis asked Krishna to come in front of them, showing his beautiful face and the charity and the beauty, along with that, to bless them. Then the gopis said to Krishna that you come now and put your feet on our chest and purify us. It was then that the next gopi said, no, that's not enough. You should offer your atharamradam, all the nectar from your mouth. Let's drink that, and that may purify us. This gopi was saying. It was then that another gopi said, tavakathamradam tatta jivanam kavibhiridam kalmashabaham shravanamangalam srimadadam bhuvigranandide bhurida janah. That this gopi said that I know the problem, I know the medicine for this, because this medicine I have taken before and it has worked. That is what then gopi's conclusion was. What was then? Tavakathamradam tapta jivanam. Because you are not going to do anything for us, we will sit here. And what we will do? Tavakathamradam tapta jivanam. That when Krishna was a little boy, when he had a very close association with all the gopis in Vrindavanam, all that association and the pastimes of Krishna, gopis have developed into songs. And these songs, they were singing throughout the day. Gopis were singing morning to night till they went to bed. They were singing about Krishna. This was their good fortune. Tavakathamradam tapta jivanam. So in spite of all the other difficulties they had in their life, what in their normal daily material life in this world, gopis were not affected by that. Why? Because they were always singing about Krishna's childhood pastimes. That was the beauty of their life. And gopis were recognized this. Whenever we sung those pastimes, tavakathamradam tapta jivanam, it gave us life. We never felt by the modes of nature. We were not affected by that. Why? Because they had first-hand experience of Krishna's childhood, didn't they? They had the first-hand experience of Krishna's childhood pastimes. They have seen what is dealing with Krishna means. What is that happiness and bliss that comes from that? So, not for a second they forgot Krishna. This was the beauty of their life in Vrindavanam. Every single moment they remembered Krishna all along their life. And that has protected them. Nothing in this world has disturbed them. No distress has come to them after that. So, because it was like that, they knew the potency of Krishna's pastimes. And that is what this gopi was saying. If Krishna is not showing up, tavakathamradam tapta jivanam kavibhiridam kalmashabaham shravanamangalam srimadadam bhuvigranandide bhurida janaham. Krishna's kathamradam, the nectar of Krishna's childhood pastimes, is such. Tavakathamradam tapta jivanam, one who is burning inside heart due to the fire of material life, for him, this is life. Krishna's pastimes is life. Tavakathamradam tapta jivanam.
తవ కథామృతం తప్త జీవనం కవిభిరీడిదం కల్మషావహం. ద గ్రేట్ సేజెస్ సేస్ దేర్ దట్ ద థాట్ఫుల్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు లీవ్ యువర్ డిస్ట్రెస్ లైఫ్ అండ్ రిలీవ్ ఫ్రమ్ సిన్ఫుల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ అండ్ రియాక్షన్స్ కల్మషావహం సిన్ఫుల్ రియాక్షన్స్ దెన్ ది షెల్టర్ ఈస్ కృష్ణాస్ గ్లోరిఫై కృష్ణ దట్ ఈస్ ద మెథడ్ టు గెట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ చైల్డ్ దిస్ సిన్ఫుల్ రియాక్షన్స్ So you can remember, you can understand why Srimad Bhagavatam gives so much importance to hearing. The hearing process of Srimad Bhagavatam is so powerful. By simply getting attached to Krishna through these pastimes in the Bhagavatam, one automatically gets purified. That is the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why this gopi is saying here, Tavakathamradam tapta jivanam kavibhiridam kalmashavaham. Shravana Mangalam, that is the most auspicious thing that can happen to anyone. Shravana Mangalam Srimadadadam Bhuvi Granandide Bhurida Janaha. That is the benefit or auspicious thing that should happen to intelligent people will follow that process. So this gopi was mentioning like this. So you can see different gopis were proposing different things. But when it came to the lotus feet of Krishna, that here the sages were saying, how could you ask Krishna to put his lotus feet on your chest? Is that not a sinful thing to say like that? If you think about this, how merciful Krishna is sometimes, that he allows a devotee, especially with Srimati Radharani, Krishna's relationship was like that, that this particular personality, this great personality, Jayadeva Goswami, when he wrote this particular Gita Govindam, Gita was written. At one instance, Gita Govindam was compiled and Jayadeva Goswami and Padmavati, they lived in Kindabilva. That was the village where they came from. And they were both great personalities in the sense that who was a greater devotee, difficult to say. It was like that. So pure at their heart and such pure Krishna consciousness. So, Gita Govindam was being compiled by Jayadeva Goswami. Jayadeva Goswami was writing Gita Govindam. These poets, when they write, they just don't write in one hour or one day or something like that. They will think a lot first and then they will write something. Then they will again think a lot. So, as days pass by, the ideas will develop in their mind and they keep writing along with that. And then they will correct it, they will alter it, edit it, this, that, and that. So many things. Poets are not so easy to compile great literature. And it does not happen automatically. They have to get that inspiration to do that. All the great literature in the world has come about like that. Particularly all the great spiritual literature. Unless it is inspired inside by Krishna. So Lord Jagannath, who was behind this, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, and Lord Jagannath, who was behind this, inspired our Jayadeva Goswami to write the Gita Govindam, and he continued writing. Those who read Gita Govindam will find. So in this one particular instance, one day Jayadeva Goswami had to go, he does not know how it happened. Smaragara lagandhanam mama shirasi mandanam dehi pada pallavamudaram. This discussion between Radharani and Krishna is going on. And in this one instance, it came to his mind that Radharani has put her feet on Krishna's head. As soon as this thought came up, he got the words as well. Smaragarala gandhanam mama shirasi mandanam. Krishna is saying this. Dehi pada pallavam udaram. That is the two lines in that particular Ashtapadi. So, Jayadeva Goswami thought for a second, this is an offense actually, isn't it? Asking Radharani to put her feet on Krishna's head. That is there nothing, here you are seeing, Radharani is asking to Krishna to come and put Krishna's feet on her chest. With all the other gopis, you have to remember, all this Goviyagidam was not different gopis' ideas. They are all consulting each other and they are putting this representation to Krishna together. That is how Goviyagidam is compiled. So because they were putting this representation, they are discussing every aspect of what they are saying, that something is not too offensive against the Vedic etiquette.
So this was considered to be a severe offense to asking Radharani to put her feet on Krishna's head. Because it is Radharani's appearance day on Tuesday, we should say this today. Radharani was not asking Radharani to put her feet on Krishna's head would be considered a serious offense from the Vedic viewpoint. So the words were there. Jagannath is given the inspiration to write the words. And Jayadev Goswami thought, Smara Garala Gandhanam Mama Shirasi Mandanam Dehi Pada Pallavam Udaram. The words was there. And then he decided not to write it. Not to write the words. And it was 12 o'clock or so, midday. So the poor old Brahmana wanted to bathe in the river, come back after Vastaranam and have the prasadam. That was the plan. So he called Padmavati, said, Padmavati, I am now going to bathe in the river. And after bathing, I'll come back and keep this book, what he was writing, the writing pad and pen or whatever that was, handed over to Padmavati and keep it there. I'll come back and then we'll see. This thought was working in this Jayadev Goswami's head strongly. All the literature, you should understand that so much thoughts go behind it before they compile it. And by Krishna's grace, they get the inspiration to write and present it in the proper way which was pleasing to Krishna. It has to please Krishna at the end. You shouldn't write some nonsense and say that I compiled this. It has to be pleasing to Krishna. So when this was done, Jayadev Goswami was feeling this, whether to write or not, and eventually said, no, it's not proper. So he went to bathe in the river. So when he went to bathe in the river, after some time Krishna thought that, let me have a little check with what he has written. So he went, goes there. Krishna goes there, and exactly like Jayadev has come back from the river. The dress was exactly, looked exactly like Jayadev Goswami, who has gone to river to bathe, gone to the river to bathe, but Krishna has taken that form and come back. After coming back, Krishna calls Padmavati. Padmavati thought Jayadev has come back, husband has come back. So Padmavati asked, why have you come back so soon? What was the urgency to come back? Padmavati, Jayadev has just gone in a half an hour or so before. Normally it takes over a couple of hours for them to bathe, chant their Gayatri and so many other things they have to do, because the Brahmana's life is such a busy affair. And here, Jayadev has come back so quickly, so Padmavati got concerned and said to Jayadev, why have you come back so quickly? Padmavati, let me tell you something, he said. This new Jayadev is saying to Padmavati, Padmavati, bring me that pad, what I have given it to you before. So Padmavati started criticizing. Padmavati said, these poets are all like this. Their mind is somewhere else and they'll be doing something else. While bathing, you should be bathing, not thinking about what you are writing. This was Padmavati's mind. Padmavati said to Jayadev, that you should forget all these things, bathe properly and come. No, Padmavati, it's not like, it's a very important thing that I have to look at it, what I have written. And told Padmavati to bring it. Now I can't go inside because I've left the house. Bring it out and let me look at it and say. So Padmavati brought the pad back and gave it to this new Jayadev. Jayadev opened the pad and wrote down that same lines what original Jayadev has thought about. Smara Garala Gandhanam Mama Shirasi Mandanam Dehi Pada Pallava Mudaram. Wrote all that things and folded and handed back to Padmavati. And said to Padmavati, the oil is coming down through my eyes. Because they apply the oil on their head. Massage the oil. Oil is hanging on my head. Can you help me? I need some cloth to wipe it. And Padmavati is standing there, held their sari and wiped his eyes with that. And after wiping the eyes, and said to Padmavati, now I'll go and bathe and come back, he said, and left. After about an hour or hour and a half, our poor Jayadev has come back from the river after bathing and ready for the prasadam and all. So when he came back, and Padmavati fed Jayadev prasadam, and after taking prasadam, Jayadev asked Padmavati to give back the book again to write. So Padmavati said to Jayadev, this is a nuisance. All the time you are asking me to give the book back. You cannot sit and write it together once for all and finish that. So Padmavati, fully knowing Jayadev's mind and consciousness very well, brought the book and gave it to Jayadev. And Jayadev said to open the book and saw these words written there. What he has thought in his mind was already there in the book. So Jayadev got confused, this whole thing. I didn't write it. How could this be here? This is impossible, he said. And called Padmavati straight away.
and said to Padmavati, Padmavati, who has done this? Padmavati got really furious. Padmavati turned around and said to Jayadev, is your head going? Is it completely out, gone now, with all these spiritual thoughts that's going? That's what they say here, isn't it? That if you become too spiritual, they say, no, you're going crazy a bit. They'll say, so it seems that it was the same thing those days also, it's not different. So they'll say like that, whereas if you go to the pub every evening, you're normal. Whereas if you think anything related to Krishna, you're not normal. Because then you require some correction. That, so therefore, Padmavati was saying that you are asking me something to do, but I'm helpless, she said. You have come here a few minutes ago and asked me the book, I gave it to you and you wrote it down. Jayadev was completely confused about the whole thing. Ultimately, Padmavati said, you are trying to confuse me now. If you want the proof, here it is. Showed the sari to Jayadev. Look at this. And showed the Krishna's eyes, how it was wiped with that, and showed it to Jayadev. Jayadev understood who had come and written it. There is a verse there. Jayadev Goswami paying his full obeisances to Padmavati, saying that why? Jayadev considered Padmavati more fortunate that she had the direct experience with Krishna like that, which Jayadev didn't have at that time. So Jayadev says, Padmavati, there is a beautiful verse about that, can't remember. It says, Padmavati is Chakravarti, she is the king of everything, of pure devotion. And that was that couple, Padmavati and Jayadev Goswami lived like this. So what I was trying to say was that Radharani's lotus feet, Krishna was willing to accept in Jayadev Goswami's poem. And this Gita Govindam, ever since, has become so popular that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that as the very principle of pure devotion to Krishna. That if you want to understand Krishna's pure devotion, what it means is this relationship between Radharani, Krishna and the Sakhi in the Gita Govindam. And today also, even among the greatest temples in all over India, if after the offering is done, that is called Prasanna Puja. Prasanna Puja means after all the offering is done and finally Pushpanjali is offered to Krishna, then if you want Krishna to smile, you have to sing this song in front of the deity. That is the position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this song in many, many big temples, and that tradition is still continued. You can see in many big temples this song is sung, especially after the main offerings are done. So Krishna has recognized Jayadev Goswami and his devotion, and Jayadev Goswami appeared much before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, perhaps, I don't know exactly, but 700-800 years back, and that tradition from then on continued, and it still continues today. That is the importance of this Gita Govindam. So if Krishna wants that, everything is acceptable. So we should pray to Krishna, we should pray to Radharani, that whatever they have revealed to these great devotees, we should not think that Rasa Krida and Rasa Dance is a simply mundane activity. It is the topmost transcendental activity. We should not become like the foxes who can criticize. Some people criticize Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna for because of this Rasa Dance and the relationship in Krishna and the gopis. But this is the topmost knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who understand it properly, and those who have understand the position of the gopis and Krishna, they can appreciate the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there you will find that those who surrender to Krishna, by surrendering to Radharani and through Radharani's mercy and Krishna's mercy, one can understand what does Rasa Dance means, or Rasa Krida means. That is the important message to come from Srimad Bhagavatam. Vikriridam Rajavadu Biridanja Vishnu Shradhvanidam Anishadal Athavarna Yedam Bhaktim Param Paramagadim Pratilabhya Gamam Hridrogam Ashu Abhinodi Ajirena Dhiraha. That one will get completely purified in one consciousness, then they will be able to develop the pure love for Krishna through this process. So that is the beauty of this verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We will continue with this on next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.